Welcome to the Reach for Life broadcast from Christian Resources International. I'm Harry Jeffrey, and I'll be with you for the next half hour, featuring inspirational music and an uplifting message by Pastor Charles D. Brooks of the Breath of Life telecast. The Reach for Life program gives you knowledge for successful living in today's rapidly changing world. If you're raising a family, struggling with issues concerning your career, or seeking to enhance the overall quality of your life, stay right here. Reach for Life brings you thrilling messages from Pastor Charles D. Brooks, veteran evangelist and director speaker of the Breath of Life television broadcast. The Breath of Life telecast may be available in your area, and you won't want to miss it. Please check your local television listings, including your cable TV listings, for the time and station. Make sure you don't miss Pastor Brooks on the Breath of Life telecast. Set your VCR to tape the program for you if you have to be away. For the past several weeks, we've been bringing you the Breath of Life Crusade, a series of 28 sermons outlining important biblical teachings. Pastor C.D. Brooks, a veteran teacher and evangelist, carefully guides us through this garden of truth, patiently pointing out the many fruit God has placed there for our spiritual nourishment. Today we bring you part two of the message entitled Ghosts, Zombies, and Poltergeists. Dr. Brooks brings us the complete Bible truth about death, near death, and after death. You'll want to have a pencil ready to write down the Bible text for further study. Here's Pastor Brooks.
Who only hath what? Now that's either the truth or it's not the truth. I choose to believe the Bible, don't you? And the Bible says only Christ or God has immortality. Ladies and gentlemen, the angels don't even have it. The Bible says that Satan, who was an angel, and those who fell with him are going to be destroyed in the flames of hell, root and branch. Matthew 25, 41 says, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. They're going to die. God only hath immortality. Man does not have immortality. Man is mortal. Now, you've always heard that. The Bible speaks of mortal man. Mortal means can die. Immortal means can't die. Only God hath immortality. Man is mortal. Man can die. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the Garden of Eden, Satan used a medium. Speaking through the serpent, he said to Eve, ye shall not surely die. You're going to die, but not surely. Well, let's see how man was made. The Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man what? It doesn't say man was given a soul or man had a soul. Man was a soul. He became a soul. If you want to know what a soul looks like, look up here at me. Or look at the person sitting next to you. When Paul was on that ship in a storm, the Bible says there were in all X number of souls. These were living people on board that ship. A soul is a man or a woman, a generic man, of course. Now the Bible says God made him out of dust and gave him the breath of life, and when the union came about, man became a living soul. Now the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7 that when man dies, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who what? When he made man, he formed him of the dust and then gave him the breath of life. When man dies, the process is reversed. His body returns to the dust, and his spirit returns to God who gave it. This word spirit, what does it mean? Where does it come from? In the Hebrew, it's from ruach. In the Greek, it's pneuma. Say that last word with me, pneuma. Now let me show you how simple it is. When a man catches a dreadful respiratory disease, it is often called pneumonia. It was originally believed to be caused by bad air. Pneuma means air or breath or wind. So does the Old Testament Hebrew word ruach. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave to man the breath of life, and when man dies, his body returns to the dust, and his spirit, which comes from the Greek word pneuma, returns to God who gave it. Job 27:3. There the Bible says, all the while, my breath is in me, and the spirit of God is in my what? That's why you breathe. Now that's clear, isn't it? That's where the word spirit comes from. It doesn't mean there's a little man that sits on your shoulder and when you die, he lights out to heaven while you go to the grave. This was made up. Before I finish out here, I'm going to tell you who made it up and why. It's clear. And if you don't want to wait, you can go to the library and read it. There are no secrets. People just don't study and don't pray and don't read God's word. It's clear. The spirit returns to God who gave it. The Bible says in Psalm 104 and verse 29, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled, thou takest away what? That's all. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. And so out in the graveyard, you see all of these stones. People are buried out there. Many of them have already dissolved and returned to the dust, and the only thing that left them was the air, the wind, the breath, interpreted spirit. They die and return to their dust. Psalm 146 and verse 4 says, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. They do what?
Perish.
That very day. That same writer goes on to say that his thoughts not only perish, but his love and his hatred. I remember one day a man died and a fella called me. Oh, Pastor, I got to see you. I said, well, come on, and what is it about? He came in. He was scared to death. He said, this man died, and I mistreated him, and I'm scared he's coming back. I said, man, if he didn't get you before he died, you don't have to worry now. He's gone. He's not even thinking about you. His thoughts perish. Would you say amen out there? The Bible goes on to say something else. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 9:5, for the living know that they shall what? But the dead know not what?
Amen.
Do you believe God's word? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Even if I'd never heard it before, if I saw that, read it in my Bible, I'd believe God. Dead folk know nothing. And for some reason, Satan has given people the impression that when a man is dead, he knows more than he ever knew before. Some of them died in nothing but sinners, and yet he wants to bring them back and let them tell you how to live. They didn't even live. The Bible says that when they die, the dead know not anything. And I believe what the Bible teaches. Psalm 115 and verse 17 says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Ladies and gentlemen, my uncle died. He was a great preacher in the Methodist Church. And I didn't know him because we'd never lived near him. And when he died, we went to the funeral. And we were sitting there, and it is a very delicate time for family. And a lot of ministers naturally were there. And they began to talk about this good preacher who had died. And I'm a boy and I'm sitting there listening. And he was lying right there and the coffin was open. And finally, the man who really was assigned to give the eulogy apparently found himself desperate because everything had been said by all these other preachers. So I imagine he decided to be very emotional. And I can see him in my mind's eye right now. He stood and he was preaching and he leaned back and he put his hand up and he looked up into the ceiling. He said, I can see Rem Reeves now up in glory, praising God and leaping around the throne. And Rem Reeves was lying right there in that coffin and all of us had our eyes on him. He hadn't gone anywhere. We're looking at him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you plan to praise God, you better get it done before you die. Would you say amen out there? Along with some of these things I told you, I'm going to make clear to you before I finish out here. This came from the same treasure. This idea that you die and you go off into some never, never land, where if you raise enough money, we can get you out and into glory. It's called purgatory. There is no such place. If you're going to serve God, you better do it while the blood is running warm in your veins. You better do it while you're clothed in your right mind. You better do it while your heart is still pumping. Now is the accepted time, Jesus said. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't put it off and take a chance on some never, never land. It will never, never happen. Now, it's sad, but listen to what the Bible says. Now, I want you to read it all with me, and you'll get the reference in a moment. So man lieth down, and what? Wait. What about these ghosts? What about these things witches bring up? And mediums or necromancers and channelers. What about it when they bring you to their house and you put your money on the table and then they cut out the light? Why do they always have to cut out the light? Because the devil is the prince of darkness. And he's got to work his trick on you. And all of a sudden you got your hands on the table. And she says, I'm beginning to see, and you look and you see. What is it? Well, I'll tell you what it ain't, if you'll pardon my language. The Bible says, man lieth down, and what? Wait. Now, it tells you when he's going to rise. Till the what? Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Word? Let's read on. Job said, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in where? Amen. That thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Job 14, 12, and 13. Job said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to die. Lord, just have me hidden in the grave, but don't forget me. Make sure that when your wrath is past, you'll remember me. Job was so sure of it that he testified before his friends, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. But he said, Lord, hide me in the grave till your wrath be past. What wrath? These last days are going to see the unmingled wrath of God. There's going to be a time of trouble, prophecy says, such as never was since there was a nation. And Jesus is going to come, and the trumpet is going to sound, and mountains will move out of their places. Islands of the sea will be swallowed up. There will be an earthquake such as never was since there was a nation. The wrath of God will fall upon the impenitent, and the wicked will be screaming in terror, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Job said, just appoint me a place and remember me. Well, I want to tell you, when a saint dies, that saint goes to the grave. That saint's body will return to the dust. But let me tell you, that's not all. We're told that when the funeral is conducted, an angel marks the spot. And when Jesus returns, those angels will be told, gather mine elect from the four corners of the earth. He will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, and myriads of angels will flutter out over the face of the earth and roll back the dusty blankets, and saints will come out of those graves like popcorn popping on a stove. They're going to rise, never to die again. The Bible says in chapter 15 of Job, his sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. They are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. When I pastored a large church in Ohio, there was a saint belonged to my church who was so stricken with illness she couldn't come out. So I would go on Sabbaths to her, and I would take deacons and deaconesses. We'd carry along fruit and flowers, and we would sing and have service just like we were in church. And she rejoiced in Christ Jesus. And I kept going, and one day I noticed that all of the flowers came from us. All of the cards came from us. All of the fruit came from us. So I said, "My dear sister, don't you have children?" She said, "Oh, Pastor, they don't care about me." Oh, I never heard such sad words. "They don't care about me. I never hear from them. They don't help." And then one day, alas, our dear sister died. And the family came. And when I was preaching that funeral, one of those daughters had to be carried out bodily. I thought to myself, "You're not impressing me." And when we went out to get ready to drive to the cemetery, I had a brand new Buick. And I started to open my door, and the funeral director ran to me and said, "Pastor, you can't drive that." I said, "Well, all right, what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to get in that car." And he put me in a gold-colored Cadillac. And as we turned the curve, I counted 14 golden Cadillacs in a row. Now that cost some money. But these children who wouldn't send a card, these children who wouldn't phone their mother, these children had come in, the very ones who couldn't give her a bowl of fruit, wanted to make a show before the public and hired all gold Cadillacs. I tell you the truth, I got so disgusted, I didn't know what to do. And I want to say to anybody today who has a mother or a father or both living, if you ever expect to do anything for them, do it now. You got some flowers, give it to them now while they can smell it. You're not impressing anybody after they're dead. Some of these dear old parents are so lonely, they don't know what to do. Some of them sit in nursing homes and just vegetate and don't get a single visitor. Shame! Shame before God. The Bible says his sons come to honor. They write resolutions and they make speeches. And they do a lot of talk. I mean, even the good sons. But the dead doesn't know anything about it. If you're going to say it while they live. When they're dead, they are gone. They don't know it. Now, what about those who say all the saints are in heaven? Those same people love the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down. Well, this is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 34, David, who? David. Is not ascended into heaven. Now, beloved. God said David was a man after his own heart. If it's true that all the saints are in heaven, David ought to be up there. Wouldn't you say amen to that? But on the day of Pentecost, somebody said, "Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, that's when they came out." This is 50 days later. And Peter said David is not in heaven. I believe what the Bible says. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, which means his grave, is with us unto this day. Acts 2:29. I have journeyed more than once to what they call the Holy Land. I've gone in to see the tomb of David. It is revered over there. David's burial place is still here, and David is still in there. Now, I told you, don't be offended if you learn tonight that your wonderful mother is not in heaven. I got better news than that. Let's go on and see what the Bible says. Can a soul die? What about this hymn that you sing a never-dying soul to say? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18 and verse 4, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall what? Now that's the word of God. I'll tell you where this other came from later. But for tonight, let's concentrate on truth, not error. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every loving one of us is going to die unless Jesus comes soon. Gonna die. My mother was a saint all my life. When she died, I sat in the living room and my dad came in and sat beside me and I said, Pop, as I have known her all these years, I cannot think of a single bad thing about my mother. And I was sincere. I couldn't think of her ever using a bad word. I couldn't think of her ever getting even with anybody. And when, now you know some people are not much good, now you know that. But my mother absolutely would not say that. We had a neighbor that was hardly worth pushing over. And one day I heard some people talking about him. And my mother said, oh, leave him alone. He's harmless. And I thought, listen to that. He's harmless. She had to say something good. And yet, in spite of her devotion, her love for Jesus, that mother who could get prayers through, when people got sick, they sent for her. That mother whose faith could move the arm of God. That mother went to sleep with a smile on her face, took my brother's hand and joined it with my daddy and pointed up when she could no longer talk. And my brother said, Mom, are you telling me to meet you in heaven? And she nodded her head, smiled herself to sleep. 5 years later, I baptized him. He told me, Chuck, it wasn't your preaching. I couldn't forget. Mother pointing upward, asking me to meet her in the kingdom of God. Would somebody say amen out there? Amen. This thing is real. And when you come down to die, you got to have a real hope. You don't want a hope based on fairy tales and human tradition. You don't want a hope based on things that men have made up. Your hope has got to be on a solid rock. And that rock is the word of God. Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall what? And that's what the Bible means, ladies and gentlemen. And now all of this stuff that we refer to as spiritualism has come out of that lie that Satan told. It's all based on communication with the dead. Satan said, you're not going to die. God said, you're going to die. I want to ask you tonight, which do you believe? Oh, I hope so. Satan is the one who said, you will not surely die. He used the serpent as a medium, spoke through it, and told a lie that has affected the whole world. And now look, that old serpent said to Eve, if you disobey God, you're going to really live. Remind me of a rich man whose son owned a sports car. And he loved that car so much, when he died, his father decided to give him a party. He brought out a bulldozer and he dug a great big hole and he put his son's body in his sports car. And then he got a bunch of pretty girls and had them come and stand around the tomb throwing flowers as the car was let down in the tomb. And some unthinking person saw all of this opulence and all of this show, and he turned to somebody else and said, man, that cat's living. He wasn't living, he was dead. I don't care how many cars they buried him in, he's not going to drive it anywhere. He's not going to double clutch anymore. He's dead. That serpent lied. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's Genesis 3:4. Now I want you to read about this Satan. The Bible says in John 8:44, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The first lie came from him, and he's the father of lies. And yet Christians, church folk, believe his lie. Some of them don't realize it, but they do. They do not read what you have read tonight. And brother and sister, I could stand here another hour and give you text after text after text after text that show that Satan is a liar and the father of it.
You know that there is something very special he'll do in your life, better than you can imagine. He'll take your heart and make your life brand new. Let the Savior take control of your life.
You've been listening to Pastor Charles D. Brooks with part two of the special sermon entitled Ghost, Zombies, and Poltergeist. We'll bring you the conclusion next.